What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my co-host, John Kegley, two writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. We have a lot to talk about on today's show. We're going to be getting into the Chargers bringing in a new tight end, claiming Andrew Vollar off of waivers, and talk about just the position group of tight end and the openings that we see there and the opportunities that may arise for the young guys to potentially get a spot on this team. And then we'll move into a segment we did last season during the season where we play a press conference interview and discuss what happened. So Joey Bosa gave us the perfect one. He talked for 15 minutes in the press conference, talking about him coming into camp in the best shape of his life, talking about the injury that he had last year and how that's coming along this season, and also his appearance on Game of Thrones, if he really appeared there. We'll talk about that later, but then we'll wrap things up at the end of the show with articles talking about where Anthony Lynn ranks amongst NFL head coaches. There's been a couple articles written, and Anthony Lynn didn't make the top 10 in either one, so we'll talk about that to end the shows and the other coaches that made it ahead of him. But before we get started, we do want to tell everyone to make sure they're subscribing to the Locked On Chargers podcast, and they can do that on the brand new Himalaya app. It's a free app that's easy to use and has every single podcast that you're looking for on the same app. It has personally curated playlists made just for you by the expert podcast tastemakers over at Himalaya. There's a lot of apps that play music and do podcasts as well, but this one is just for podcasts, and it's the best one around. So make sure to go download the Himalaya app and to subscribe to the Locked On Chargers podcast so you can get the show before everyone else. But John, let's go ahead and get into it. The Andrew Vollar signing. I don't really know what to make about this. It's not a guy that's really done anything at all at the NFL level, but it is another body in that tight end group, which we don't really know too much about right now. We know the two guys that'll be there for sure, and that's Hunter Henry and Virgil Green. But what do you think about the Chargers bringing in Andrew Vollar from Cincinnati?
You got to at least find your diamond in the rough somewhere. And if it's the tight ends, then so be it. He's been on two practice squads so far. He was on the Cardinals and the Bengals practice squad last year. So maybe he has a little bit of experience as far as learning some NFL playbooks or practicing against guys who are worth something. He apparently was a nice little deep threat tight end at Weber State. Yeah, he's not playing against top-ranked opponents, but if you're a guy with that 6'5", 245, and could be a deep threat target, you must have a little bit of speed on you. That's something we could probably use if he makes the team, but this is probably a camp body that we're given a chance to. It's another young guy that we can have, and you don't know what's going to happen when Virgil Green leaves, so you're going to need someone to fill in his spot. And who knows if Antonio Gates is going to be back. This is probably just a camp body to help out.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for the Chargers to claim somebody like this, a very low-risk type of a player that you don't even know will end up on the opening day roster. But we don't know if Antonio Gates is going to come back. That'll be a question mark really going into training camp, which he probably wouldn't participate in, even if he was around. So Antonio Gates can't really be relied on at this point, and even though he has expressed a willingness to keep playing, it's very far from a sure thing that he's going to come back. So then you're looking at Hunter Henry, Virgil Green, and Sean Culkin, who was the other guy last year. You could potentially even have a fourth tight end in the mix, which is where Andrew Vollar and the rest of these undrafted free agents come into play. But Vollar was a pretty good player in college. He did play at FCS Weber State, and we know a little bit about FCS with the Delaware product in Nazir Adderley, and also, of course, Easton Stick out of North Dakota State. So he's playing that level of football, but he still put up some eye-popping numbers. He was a FCS All-American in 2016 and 2017, and he caught 61 passes for 773 yards and 5 touchdowns in his last season, and 62 for 840 and 7 touchdowns in 2016. So, I mean, that's pretty good numbers, John, and that's a guy that was dominating the position. And like we talked about before, he is a threat in the passing game, which is just something that Virgil Green is not really able to contribute in any major way. So I think if they were to go a third tight end, when you have two pretty good run blockers in Virgil Green and Hunter Henry, they would want a guy who can get out in space and catch some passes.
Yeah, you got to have some dual threat tight ends. Hunter Henry's basically your only really good catching tight end that you have. So you got to have that next guy, and this guy fits that mold. You mentioned all his stats that he had in only 2 years of 26 games played, had over 1,600 with a long of 50 yards, including a couple of 46 yarders. He's a deep threat. He's even good running after the catch. So you can run a short route and give him the ball, and he will make guys miss. This is going to expand the offense if he is to join the team on the final roster, but you got to see his preseason games first. If he can do at least a little bit of damage in preseason, maybe he gets that final spot.
Well, I think the thing he has going for him is I think the Chargers do want to bring some fresh blood into that room. Obviously not enough to go sign a veteran tight end in free agency, but let's be honest, there really wasn't anyone available that was that enticing to bring in. So I think they want to add a cheap young piece for the future because the Chargers love to use their tight ends, and a lot of them can get playing time on the same team. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Chargers carried four tight ends. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Chargers brought it back Antonio Gates, that they still didn't try to find somebody younger to also have in that room. So I think that a practice squad spot is definitely readily available for this guy if he doesn't make the 53-man roster, if he's able to show any sort of production, or if any of the other tight ends that they brought in undrafted free agency are able to do anything in the preseason that gives the team faith that they could actually succeed at the NFL level. Because especially with a guy like this coming out of an FCS program, even though he was pretty dominant there, there's a reason he wasn't drafted. There's a reason that neither of the two teams that he was on last year decided to keep him around, at least through training camp. I don't think fans should get their hopes up too much for this guy, but it is a more promising guy than the guys they brought in undrafted free agency. So I'm excited to see what this guy can do, and I'm excited even more to get closer to training camp as the summer gets closer and football gets a little bit closer. So I do want to talk about Joey Bosa and what he had to say in his press conference, talking about Game of Thrones, talking about his injury, and talking about coming into camp with the best shape of his life, coming up in the next segment. But I'm tired of talking about the performance of all these Chargers players. It's time to talk about your performance in the bedroom. And I can help you step your game up with our friends at BlueChew.com. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, or even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you can be ready when the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. And the best part about Blue Chew is it is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So this takes away all that awkwardness. No in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And since they're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. If they visit BlueChew.com, get your first shipment for free when using the special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 in shipping, and you can get your first order of Blue Chew. Again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice.
And we also want to thank our friends over at Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded.
All right, guys, now it's time to get into the Joey Bosa's press conference. I know a lot of people, after seeing Joey Bosa go through a really injury-riddled season last year where he never really got back to what he was capable of doing when fully healthy, we're excited to see Joey Bosa come into training camp this year, especially Joey Bosa looking like he's in a phenomenal shape. I never thought he was really in bad shape, but he did look a little different coming off of that foot injury. It's kind of hard to really maintain your weight and strength when you have that kind of issue going on with your foot. But Bosa did talk about the foot injury and how it's progressing and how he decided to opt out of surgery to just let it hear normally. Let's hear what Joey Bosa has to say in his own words.
Yeah, I mean, as expected, I deal with soreness here and there, but there's been nothing limiting me, no movement or anything. So, I'm as fast and as strong as I've ever been in my life. It's just about some little things like my hands and stuff, but as a D lineman, you're going to deal with that stuff. But I just got to take care of myself in that sense, tape up, and keep doing what I'm doing. Just take care of my body after practice, and I think I'll be fine. But I'm feeling, that was definitely the main goal, because it would have been a Liz Frank type surgery, which is not what I was trying to go through at all. And once you kind of put something in your foot, it's not your foot anymore. So if you could have it heal kind of without surgery, I think that's the best option, and you'll have the most strength in it at that point. So taking it slow and some rest after the season, and just training, running every day. It's been strengthening over time, getting better.
All right, well, I think that's pretty good sound from Joey Bosa right there. I don't know if fans are going to want to hear that he still has soreness in that foot, but I think that's to be expected. And, hey, hopefully, like he says, he can kind of just deal with it and not have to get surgery like he already didn't, and just let it heal normally, even if he has to deal with some of that soreness, and kind of let it go away on its own without the help of anything else. So, John, when you hear Joey Bosa talking about where he is now and saying that he's not limited, but he does still have some soreness, what does that make you think about?
It tells me that he's healing up really well. It's taken a while, but he's still getting to that point of being able to play regularly at full speed. If he had gotten surgery, he probably wouldn't have ever had the same foot ever again, because a lot of things in there, whether it's a plate or a screw or whatever, they got to stick things in there. They got to cut open the skin. You're never going to be exactly where you were before, but by letting it heal up, you can get pretty close to where you were before and not have to worry about something weighing you down or having it feel a little bit different. So he might feel a little bit of pain, but he still gets to be himself on the field. He said he feels healthier and stronger than he has in his whole entire life. So it tells me that he made the right choice and it's going pretty well.
Yeah, I think anytime you can opt to not have surgery on your foot, you have to do it, because surgeries can cause complications and all sorts of other things. So, yes, sometimes it is necessary. You kind of have to get surgery if you tear your ACL or something like that. But in this case, especially with foot problems, it's nice that he didn't have to get surgery and that he can kind of just let it heal on his own. And let's not forget, I mean, he was playing at the end of last season after he came back from an injury in week 10. So he played every game after that. So you should expect to see the normal Joey Bosa, an even better Joey Bosa than you saw last year. And a Joey Bosa that's coming off his first feature role in Game of Thrones, of all places, Joey Bosa, the actor, which, I mean, at face value seems pretty impossible, but he was definitely just an extra. And he showed up in the Game of Thrones Season 8, The Battle of Winterfell, in a notoriously dark episode. So let's hear about what Joey Bosa had to say about his appearance on Game of Thrones.
It was great. It was a lot of work. It was freezing cold in Belfast in the middle of the night. So I wish I could have gotten a little more airtime. I don't know if anybody saw that picture, but which I still don't 100% know if it was me or not. But I'm going to go with it. But, of course, Aaron Rodgers gets a whole, 5 seconds of him getting blown up. But maybe if it just timed up differently with not the darkest episode ever made in TV history, you could have seen me a little better. But you know what? I love the writers. They're great guys. So I'm just going to keep my opinions to myself. Thanks for having me out there. And yeah.
Well, first of all, let me just say that's pretty cool that Joey Bosa got to be on that. You can tell that he's into it. And I'm a little upset that he didn't have the fiery takes that Aaron Rodgers had on the season finale of Game of Thrones. He said he had a really good relationship with the writers and he didn't have any complaints. But I'm still not totally convinced he was in it, but I'll take Joey Bosa at his word when he says he's in it. There was a picture he posted kind of pointing to some bald guy with a big nose saying, "I think I recognize that nose. That must be me right there." And it was literally just a split second on the screen. So I don't even know if he made it on the screen, but for a person like me who's a fan of Game of Thrones, that was really cool to see that he got to be a part of it, even though I actually couldn't see him being a part of it because of that really dark episode and not even knowing if he made the cut. So let's get into something more football related and listen to Joey Bosa, who reporters kept saying was in the best shape of his life. They got to ask him about it. Let's hear what he says.
I think it's just been a process for every year. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to eat better, train harder. I mean, not harder because I'm always training as hard as I can, but just, I mean, it doesn't happen in 1 year. So I think it's just a process of learning how to eat. Thanks to my mom. She cooks for me almost every single night, me and my brother, and that's, God knows, that's a lot of food. But yeah, thanks to her, and I have a great chef out here for the nutrition standpoint. And you know, training in Florida, it's a little humid, a little hot out there, so you're gonna be sweating, you're gonna be losing weight, but I think I'm in a good spot right now. I'm about the same weight as I usually am, but just trying to stay lean, it's not really, I wouldn't say it's a focus or anything. It just kind of happens with the way I carry myself.
Well, John, it makes sense. Mom's home cooking is why Joey Bosa is in the best shape of his life. That and the Florida humidity and heat and being able to sweat all that stuff. I saw the press conference and he did look like he was in really good shape. He said he's about the same weight, but he's much more lean than he was before, less fat, as he said in his own words, even though I don't think any of us ever accused him of being fat. But being able to get that weight back after the foot surgery, he's looking like a hell of a football player right now.
The fact that the recipe is mama's home cooking tells you some players need to start eating some of their mom's home cooking. But going to Florida, training in the heat to lose some weight, and also that can help you play in other weather too, either heat training or going to Colorado and training in the high altitude are two good ways to improve your athleticism and stamina, and it helps you with dehydration too. So he's going to be really athletic and be able to take on a lot of minutes this year. And the fact that he feels like he's in the best shape of his life right now makes me feel confident that even with a foot injury, he's been training so hard and so long to be back for this year. I have a lot of confidence now that he's going to be able to play a 16-game season finally.
Speaking of so hard and so long, thank you again to Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm just kidding. But yeah, we're definitely happy to see Joey Bosa back at 100% and having him say that he's in the best shape of his life. You hear that all the time from players. I mean, let's be honest. But he actually looks the part this year, and you know that he has a bad taste in his mouth coming from last season and his injury-shortened season and his injury-shortened career so far, the amount of games that he's missed. I think he's going to come back with a vengeance, and I think we could be seeing the best Joey Bosa, or the best incarnation of this Joey Bosa that we've seen so far, and hopefully he puts himself amongst the top edge defenders in the NFL and can, you know, get into the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. I think that's best-case scenario. But we do have one more segment to get into, and that's talking about how good of a coach Anthony Lynn really is and where he stacks up against the peers, at least according to Fantasy Pros and RotoWorld.com. So let's go ahead and get into Anthony Lynn. But first, I want to thank Untuckit for sponsoring this episode of the Locked On Chargers podcast as well. If you're looking for great Father's Day ideas, their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Just go to untuckit.com, promo code Locked On to get 20% off your order. Stop letting your dad go around looking like a dad all the time. Go to untuckit.com and get him the first good shirt he's had in years. All right, John, now it's time to get into the final segment talking about Anthony Lynn and how he stacks up against the rest of the coaches in the NFL. So first, I'll start with the one that I saw that made me want to talk about this conversation, and that's on fantasypros.com, where they had Anthony Lynn ranked as the 12th best head coach in the NFL going into the 2019 season. Some of the guys they had ahead of him were, I mean, the obvious ones, the Sean Payton, Sean McVay, Bill Belichick, of course, but also Matt Nagy from Chicago, Pete Carroll from Seattle Seahawks, the one that I know is going to upset you, Frank Reich from the Indianapolis Colts, amongst others. I mean, Mike Tomlin, Mike Zimmer are both on there, who I think are more similar to Anthony Lynn as far as what he's bringing to the table as far as schemes go. But, John, what did you think about the Chargers, Anthony Lynn coming 12th on this list?
I wasn't upset that he was 12th on this list, but I was upset that Frank Reich is above him. There's guys on this list that I think should have been higher, like a Ron Rivera or Bruce Arians, that I think should be higher. And those are the guys that I see above Anthony Lynn. But Frank Reich being above Anthony Lynn makes no sense to me. I'm not trying to say Anthony Lynn should be a top 10 coach, because in my mind, he's not yet. He still needs to win something as far as even a division crown or something. He has not shown that he's able to adjust very well when it comes to schemes, game plan, formations, any of that kind of stuff. He tends to go with what he has and expects it to work rather than adjusting. So that alone doesn't make me think that he's a top 10 coach. But wait, how is Frank Reich ranked 8th on this list while Lynn is 12th? That makes no sense to me. Frank Reich has shown nothing of an improvement. He had nobody the year before and now has Andrew Luck the next year and gets an improvement. That's not really saying much in my mind.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there. And I think that Frank Reich did a really good job. I mean, that's a team that started 1-5 and ended up going 10-6. So I think he definitely deserves some credit as far as keeping his guys together and riding the ship. But we did see what Frank Reich's flaws were when he was in San Diego as the offensive coordinator. We all had problems with him then. That was in the Mike McCoy era, so it's hard to always blame just one person, because you know Mike McCoy had his fingerprints all over that offense. But hey, he had one of the better offenses in the league, so you have to give him some credit for that. But I think what really turned the Colts team around was their defense. Them getting back to being a good defensive team is absolutely what propelled them into the playoffs last year and helped their turnaround, other than Andrew Luck, who's obviously one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And anytime he comes back healthy is going to improve your team dramatically. So I didn't have a huge problem with Frank Reich, but I definitely think it's much too soon to tell and much too soon to be jumping in to the top tier with guys like Sean McVay and Sean Payton, who I have much more respect for. I do think Frank Reich's a good coach, John, but I definitely get what you're saying as far as, hey, defense had a lot to do with it, and also there's a one-year sample size.
Well, yeah, and if you also look at the coaches around him, he's ranked above John Harbaugh, and the guy just above him is Pete Carroll, and then above that is Matt Nagy. But yet, Frank Reich belongs in that group? I don't think he does. He probably belongs down in the groups of Bill O'Brien and maybe Freddie Kitchens, Vic Fangio. He belongs in that group in my mind.
Yeah, I think so as well. And on the other list on rotoworld.com, they do have Frank Reich at 13 with Anthony Lynn at 11. So it definitely shows you there's a difference in opinion. I would be more likely to put him in that second tier, absolutely, than I would that third tier. But it's hard to argue with other guys. You know, Mike Tomlin has been doing it for a while. John Harbaugh, who I think is a really good coach. Mike Zimmer, I think you could make the question for whether Anthony Lynn is a better coach than him. But I think talking about Anthony Lynn specifically, he's kind of an odd head coach, because most coaches come in as an offensive expert or a defensive expert. And Anthony Lynn, I mean, is really neither of those things. He's not an offensive genius. He tried to come in and bring in his type of running style, and it didn't work in the first season. They had some well-designed runs last year, but it was very inconsistent. But they did have a better running game last year. But I think he's doing it the right way, John, because I think you have to give a lot of credit to Gus Bradley and Ken Whisenhunt as well. And just credit to Tom Telesco, because he did bring in a guy who I think is a good head coach. I'm not saying he's a good offensive head coach or defensive head coach. He's a good head coach because he holds his guys accountable and his players want to play for him, which is not something you could say for Mike McCoy. So with a guy like Anthony Lynn, if he's not going to be a specialist, which I don't necessarily think head coaches should be, I think those roles should be offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. I've said for a long time that Andy Reid's a much better offensive coordinator than he is a head coach. If Andy Reid was just calling plays, he would probably even be better. So I think Anthony Lynn is a good head coach, even though he's not necessarily great at offense or defense.
I would agree with that. He has the locker room on his side. He has the discipline on his side. He has guys ready to play. But I don't feel like he's good enough at adjusting things. He should be the guy that says, okay, we're going to change this week, and we're going to add this in this week. We're going to take this out this week. And in the end, when it comes on the play, leave it to your offensive coordinator or your defensive coordinator. But he needs to be the guy that does things like change the offensive line when it's not working, not keep it because he wants to not sacrifice the chemistry. He needs to improve where things are weakened and stuff like that worries me. It makes me not want to put him in the top 10. But if you were to go on this list as guys that are disciplined and have their team under control and have the respect of their players, I would put him in the top 10 just for that alone. But overall, I wouldn't.
And I 100% get what you're saying about, hey, you have to be the one that makes these hard decisions, whether it's, you know, taking Jahlil Adai off the field, making sure that doesn't happen, whether it's, hey, telling an offensive lineman, hey, you are the next guy up is going to get a chance to start and to see what he can do because your play hasn't been up to the level that we need as a team. All of those things, I think that Anthony Lynn could get much better at. It's a hard line because if you are a player's coach, like I believe Anthony Lynn to be, it's hard if you're ripping guys' jobs away left and right. So I understand what he was doing. But when it sacrifices your team's performance on the field and you continue to do it week after week, I think that has to be a knock on his head coaching ability just because, hey, he's the head coach. Yes, you can get opinions from your offensive and defensive coordinators, but at the end of the day, it comes down to you, and you have to be the one that makes those big decisions. So at the end of the day, last season, he made the decision that he thought that the chemistry was more important than the talent and the performance that they were getting on the field. But I disagree. I mean, most people disagree. Everyone thought that there should be some changes on that offensive line, and they didn't really have a lot of depth to go to, John. But when people see Forrest Lamp, a second-round pick, not being able to get on the field while the offensive line is still struggling, that is something that Anthony Lynn has to answer for.
Exactly. And as you mentioned, too, the Jahlil Adai situation was something you needed to find an answer to. But the offensive line was the biggest thing. Sam Tevy and Dan Feeney were horrible, and you had a guy who could probably fill in one of those two roles in Forrest Lamp, and you never gave him a chance. You basically put him in whenever it was garbage time. Or if someone got hurt for a second, you put him in real quick and put the other guy that was playing bad right back in. That's the only time you gave Forrest Lamp a chance. And stuff like that is what's going to keep this team from winning the Super Bowl. You're just going to become a team that makes the playoffs and then gets blown out by the Patriots because you're not making necessary adjustments. And I think that's a big knock on him as a head coach, as you mentioned. So it's good to be a player's coach. It's good to have everyone disciplined and have the locker room on your side and everyone loving each other like they do. You see what the players are doing in the offseason. They love each other. They love being around each other. That's a big props to the head coach. But when it comes to on-the-field stuff, he's got to learn to make those adjustments, even if it's a hard call.
Well, and that's the beauty of this, John, is, hey, he gets that chance. That's something that he can absolutely change going forward. And I think you saw that a little bit with the release of Jahlil Adai. I don't think that was an easy decision. And yes, it was Tom Telesco maybe that pulled the trigger on it, but he doesn't do it without Anthony Lynn's blessing, I don't think. So I think that that is step one. I think the front office and Anthony Lynn have both had troubles with this, whether it's, you know, letting draft picks stay a little bit too long and trying to find these diamonds in the rough that might just end up being coal instead of diamonds. So I think as a team, they're learning to do that. But hey, that's something pretty easy that you can fix if you're Anthony Lynn. And I think that could help them take this team to the next level when they're willing to sacrifice some relationships, even if it's hard, to improve the performance on the field. All right, but that is going to wrap things up for today's show. A special thanks to our sponsors over at BlueChew.com, Hotels.com, and Untuck It for sponsoring this episode. And on the next show, we want you guys to go watch Backstage Chargers so we can talk about it on the next show. So we're going to be talking about Backstage Chargers offseason chapter 3 on the next episode of the Locked On Chargers podcast. So you can go find that on the Chargers Facebook page right now. It's about 22 minutes. So go ahead and go watch that before you come back to listen to the next Locked On Chargers podcast, because we're going to start watching that and telling you guys what we think of that show and a little behind-the-scenes access to the Chargers and what we get to see on there. But until then, make sure to go subscribe to us on Himalaya, the brand-new podcasting app, or wherever you get your podcast from, to make sure you're getting the show as soon as you can. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, so you can get the latest news from the Locked On Chargers podcast. And if you have any thoughts about the offseason, free agents, OTAs, anything else, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. Every voicemail gets on the show, so get your voice on the Locked On Chargers podcast so we can talk about it. But we will talk to you guys later on in the week. Until then, take it easy and go Bulls.